So let's pray. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for being able to worship you. We thank you that Alan was able to lead us in prayers. Lord, we ask now that as we come and we seek you in this passage, that you would speak to us. It's so easy for us, Lord, to walk over things or to deliberately miss things or avoid them, to read things in that are not there. Lord, we want to hear from you this morning, and we ask that you will bless us in this. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you were here last week, then you'd have been blessed, as I was, by the message that James brought to us on Ephesians 4, 25 to 5, 2. And if you missed that, you can pick it up online. You can just go to the website, go to the Twitter feed, it'll be on there. But in taking us through those verses, James used Paul's approach of facing us with a list of different subjects. Good thing to do. And he said that this is how it works with your walk with Jesus. It's a case of don't do this, do that. I think it's a very powerful and effective way of getting the truth across to us. Don't do this, do that. You see it all the way through the Bible. Paul's picking up on it here. And he's continuing, as we'll have just heard, talking about walking in the light of Jesus, walking in our Father's footsteps. So as you read this passage again later on, which I trust will be a good thing to do, because it's always good to check out that the preacher was on message. Okay, so read it later on. And when you do, have a look at it. Have a look at those sections where Paul says, don't do this, do that. But I'm not actually going to do that this morning. What I'm going to do this morning is slightly mess with Paul's approach. Not, of course, because I can think I can improve on it. I can't improve on God's word. But rather, I want to take God's word and I want to unpack it in a slightly different order to that in which it was packed. So I warned you, didn't he? You need to check the preacher out. He does weird things sometimes, particularly if it's this one. Make sure he's sticking to the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Well, I am. So let me explain how I'm going to approach this passage. Now, I don't know if you know, if you picked up on this as Debbie read it for us, but largely what Paul does here is to say three types of things. There are things that could fall under the headings of don't do this is not good. There are others that are do this is good. And then there's thirdly, there are statements which could come under the headings of statements of listen to this, it's good to hear. So I'm going to look at that passage, all of the passage, but instead of going verse by verse, I'm going to pick up on each of these things under those headings. We'll start with the statements. Reverse order, if you like. We'll start with the statements, and then we'll look at the don'ts, and then we'll end on a high note with the do's. So, the statements. And the first one is verse 5. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, who is covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Which is a pretty straightforward first statement, I think. If you know Jesus, you may still be tempted by sexual stuff. In the same way that you may still be tempted and will still be tempted by all sorts of other things. But in your heart, you will know that sexual immorality and impurity is something which is wrong. It is harmful. It is not good for you. And we would know that it's something we must turn away from. We must turn away from that kind of thing. Now, we'll talk about this a bit more under the don'ts, because it figures quite large there, doesn't it? But let's just acknowledge that in deciding to follow Jesus, we can be faced with some big needs for change in our lives. Now, before you follow Jesus, you can live in whichever way you've chosen to live. But when you come to follow Jesus, you've got to follow Jesus in the way that he tells us to live. Jesus expects us to repent. And that means to turn around, to turn away from our previous life in all areas, not just the ones that suit us. That's why I said this needs a health warning, because it's hard. Things that our society says are fine, Jesus says, no, that really is not fine. And any kind of sex outside of marriage is no, not at all, not going to happen for Christians. That is the point. Any kind of sex outside of marriage. I hope you're not making sex your idol, is basically what Paul is saying here. Statement 2 follows on. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them. Well, we'll deal with the don'ts in that sentence in a minute. But the statement there is a kind of obvious one again. It's one for us to sit up and take notice of. The wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience, which is pretty strong stuff, isn't it? What is Paul saying here? Is he saying that the slightest slip and God says, right, you had your chance, you blew it, you're out? No. You'll be pleased to hear he's not saying that. We know that our battle, as we've been finding out in this letter, our battle is with our old self so often, and our new self is battling against our old self so much. And so we will mess up. But Paul is saying, if you decide to deliberately carry on a life which includes sexual immorality and impurity, then that puts you in the disobedience category. If Jesus says this and you say, no thanks, mate, I'll do this, that's disobedience. If you were doing sexual stuff before you came to Jesus, this is, well, the children are not in this morning, isn't it? If you were doing sexual stuff before you came to Jesus that you shouldn't be, then you shouldn't be doing it now, because you've come to Jesus. This is hard stuff in our society. It was hard stuff in the Ephesian society. Paul is saying if you decide to deliberately carry on in that way, you're disobedient. Our next statement turns up in verses 8 and 9. For at one time you were in darkness, but now you're in the light of the Lord. And the fruit of light is found in all that is good and true. Right and true. Now, Paul is using every opportunity here to keep pointing us back to the incredible truth of God's love. This is not meant to be a negative message. It's meant to be a positive message. It's only a negative message if we look at it from today's society. He's pointing back to God's love and his truth and his mercy, the fact that without him, we were spiritually dead. And you know, the spiritual grave is a dark old place, says Paul, but Christian, you are not dead. You are not in the dark. You are alive, and Christ's light is flooding into your hearts, is flooding into your lives, and it should be flooding into the world around you. The other statement follows on to say this in verse 12. It is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret, but when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible, for anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. And we're going to pick up on some of that in the do's. But when we see things quoted in the Bible, you know, we often think Paul is quoting something like this from the Old Testament, because he does an awful lot of that. It's true mainly, but not in this case, and not in a few others. This is quite likely what he was quoting here with awake, O sleeper, and the rest. It's probably just a kind of worship chorus that they were singing at the time. Well, that's the end of our statements. So let's hot things up a bit, shall we, and go for the don'ts. Let's go for some don'ts. But as we do go for the don'ts, let's remind ourselves what Paul has been trying to aim at and is aiming at in these few verses that Debbie read to us. See, last week, James reminded us that Paul was predominantly addressing how we should be communicating and how we should be affected by others in our church family, what we should be like together, how we're getting on together. Here, Paul is addressing the fact that whilst we're living here in this world, we are still heavily influenced and we're knocked about a bit by this world that we live in. Our society gives us a hard time. It gives us a roughing up. So the first don'ts we come across shouldn't really surprise us, because apart from the fact that the Ephesians didn't have the internet to share it, their society was very much heavily sexualized, just as ours is. Which reminded me as I was preparing, is people so often say, oh, the problem with you Christians is you're so fixated on sex. You're sex mad, you Christians. That's all you talk about. You go on and on about sex. Now, to be honest, we do find ourselves talking about what is wrong with some sexual stuff, but it's not because we want to, is it? It's because our society's focus, well, there are two kind of twin focuses, two twin gods. There is money and material stuff and sex, if you think about it. They're the two things our society is mad on. They're the things our society worships. And if our society worships those things, our society gets really fed up and says to us, why doesn't your God like our gods? That's the problem. So sometimes we have to talk about sex. I wouldn't recommend it as a kind of opener for evangelism, but, it'll come up. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among the saints. So says Paul, you used to talk about this stuff and you used to think it was fine. But that was the old you. You didn't know better, but you do now. Now you're a new creation in Christ. So now you need to be living, speaking, thinking, acting, and being who you are in Christ. Being who you are in Jesus. Great prayer as you get up in the morning. Lord, help me to be who I should be in you today. Great prayer. Verse 4, let there be no filthiness nor foolish talk. How does this play out for us, I wonder? No filthiness or foolish talk. Well, of course we wouldn't, would we? See that film on Channel 4 last night? You know, a bit racy, wasn't it? Oh, and what about that website I told you about? Have you checked that out yet? Whew, you'd be amazed what's on there. Might you find yourself in conversations with people who say these kind of things to you? You might. What do you do? Might you find yourself still saying those sorts of things yourself? Might you find yourself watching those kinds of things? Might you find yourself on Facebook liking and posting totally inappropriate things? Don't. Don't even think about it. It is full of temptation and misdirection. It's bad for your walk with Jesus. And it's appalling witness. So don't do it. Don't. I haven't mentioned Facebook. How about you have a talk with Jesus? If you're into social media, talk about your time on social media with Jesus. It's spring. Have a spring clean of your social media. Talk about the sites that you visit. If you're not into social media, what about the websites you look at? What about the YouTube stuff you watch? What about the comments that you make on your social media, which are plain for all to see? Is that person really a Christian? How could they like that? How could they repost that? How could they post that? How could they find that funny? If you're online every day, I'd recommend that you do that with Jesus. It's a good thing for us to do. I'm talking to myself, of course, as well as you. This is something which Paul has been prompted by God to write for us. And we need to take it on board. Did God know about Facebook when he inspired this? You bet he did. He knows about all of the other kind of stuff as well. Nor crude joking, which are out of place. Nor crude joking. Well, I guess some of that's going to get picked up in your social media spring clean, but many of you are sensible and you avoid social media. But we can all still get caught up in the laughing at crude jokes or innuendo, can't we? Now, my family gatherings are full of all of this stuff. And I'm going to be honest, some of it is hilarious. For all the wrong reasons, it's hilarious. But it really, really isn't wholesome. It really isn't. And we can still watch TV, can't we? And we see sex all over the place. We see bad language. We see inappropriate things. We can read books just as our old self did, read those kind of books. But if we do all of this kind of stuff, we're in a dodgy place spiritually. If we just think, well, we've got to get on with people in the world, so I've got to know what's going on, so I need to know about this stuff so I can relate to them. No, says Jesus. Know about me and relate me to them. That's more important. I mean, would you prepare a lovely meal and then, instead of eating it, turn back to some rotting scraps and filth from the dustbin for your dinner? Would you do that? Well, I hope not, because you need to see somebody if you do. But honestly, we can so often find ourselves spiritually sick, can't we? Because we consume filth. And if we do, it's going to build up in us. It's going to hurt us. It's going to harm us. Our society celebrates people having sex together outside of marriage. God doesn't. His word to us on this is really clear. Don't do it and don't encourage it, says God. Our society celebrates people of the same sex having sexual experiences together, and God says no. I don't celebrate that. My word is clear. Don't do it and don't encourage it. Our society celebrates people choosing their own identity. You know, be whatever you want. Be the best you. Well, God's word is clear on this. The best you is somebody who knows Jesus. So don't encourage the other stuff, says God. Our society celebrates people being crude and lewd and recently even nude in front of and around children. Being crude, lewd and nude around children. God says no. By no means. That is hideous. My word is clear on this. Don't do it and don't encourage it and stand against it. The world around us is full and is overflowing of this stuff. Well, Paul's message here from God to the Ephesians and to us is don't let it overflow into your home. It may be overflowing in the world. Don't let it overflow into your home. Don't let it overflow into your heart. Don't let it overflow into your life. It will hurt you. It will harm you or make others question your faith. And it's a slap in the face to Jesus. Well, that's a pretty strong first don't, isn't it? Next, let no one deceive you with empty words. Oh, go on. Don't be a spoil sport. It won't do any harm. No one will know. It's just a bit of fun. Surely God wants everyone to enjoy love. Empty words. Don't be deceived, says Paul. People will try and get us to approve of what they want to do. They will try to get us to join in. They will try to minimize it, even though it's sin, and they'll try to make us feel silly. Don't be deceived, says Paul. If you listen to empty words, you'll end up with an empty heart. Verse 7. Therefore, don't become partners with them. Again, that's quite strong stuff because it's basically saying, well, watch out who you're hanging around with. Watch out who you follow on social media. Watch out who your friends are. No, you don't have to drop all of your friends. But if they want to haul you into their way of thinking, and their way of thinking is difficult stuff, then don't become partners with them. That's tough sometimes, isn't it? But it's so important. Look, it's linked to verse 11. Don't take part in unfruitful works of darkness. Think about it. You're with people who are involved in stuff which says, God says, don't do this, don't do that. If you're with them, then you're going along with them. You're kind of in it with them. Paul's last don't. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. Well, why might you do this? Perhaps it's because you want to fit in. And if that's the case, then I refer you back to Paul's last point. Don't try and fit in with the world around you. It'll hurt you. It'll harm you. You don't fit in anymore. You're not supposed to fit in anymore. And when you try and make yourself fit, it makes your faith look worthless. But that isn't the main thrust of Paul's point here about drink and drugs and rock and roll. What's he saying? Paul describes deliberately getting intoxicated as debauchery. That is depravity, it's wickedness, it's sin. It's sin because it harms you. It's sin because it harms all around you. It's sin because it harms your relationship with God. Why are you turning to drink? Why are you turning to drugs? Well, in the crazy hope that it will make you feel better. There are many who will be able to tell you from painful, bitter, personal experience that that really, really does not work. It really won't. Don't, says God. Don't turn to temporary fixes. Temporary fixes, they're going to fix nothing. You're a new person in Jesus. Ditch the spirits and let him provide his spirit. Which you'll be delighted to hear brings us to Paul's positive points. Because if you're like me, you'll have had enough of the don'ts by now. Paul's many don'ts are here to underline all of the do's. So let's pick up on those. Verse 4, instead, do let there be thanksgiving. Instead of sexual innuendo, filthy jokes, greed for sex, Paul says, give thanks. Now obviously, giving thanks to God is always a good thing. But I think too that what Paul is saying here is if your mind or your conversation or your situation turns in a dirty direction, if the temptation there is too hard to handle, switch directions fast. When encouraging the Philippian church on something similar, Paul said this, Philippians 4:8. Whatever is true, whatever is honourable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. So when you're facing a tidal wave of sewage, switch directions and look to the sun. Verse 8, but now you are in the light. You are light in the Lord. Do walk as children of the light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And do try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. What does Paul say just before this in verse 8? He says, for at one time you were darkness. Now just look at that carefully. He doesn't say, at one time you were in the dark, though you were. He doesn't say, once you walked in darkness, though you did. Now, what Paul reminds us is that we were once darkness. See the truth of that and what it means. Before Jesus saved us, before Jesus poured his life and his power and his spirit and his light into our hearts, we were darkness. Wherever we went, we took darkness with us. Wherever we went, we showered darkness. We dropped darkness. We dropped dark, rotten fruit. We dripped darkness. We oozed darkness. It's a lovely thought, isn't it? And we didn't even realize it. But now we do. And now Jesus has saved us. And because Jesus has poured his life, his power, his spirit, because he has poured his light into our hearts. Everywhere we go, we should be walking as children of the light, of children of his light. And instead of rotten fruit, we should be scattering lovely fruit, fruit of goodness, fruit of godliness, fruit of truth. Instead of oozing darkness, we should be leaking his light. Paul's point to us is simple, isn't it? if all of that kind of internet stuff, I mean, I don't want to mention the F word again, but, you know, Facebook and Twitter, whatever that kind of other rubbish is, your TV watching, your conversation, your humour, your reading, your rest time. I mean, I'm talking about all these things and saying, well, you know, some of these things are rubbish. They are not rubbish of themselves. It's what we do on them that's rubbish. But if any of that isn't leaking light, we've got a problem. Paul says, let it leak light. Let Jesus' little light shine, go wherever you go. It's only little because it's in you. It's a big light. Let it shine. Bring light and love and life, because Jesus has brought his light, his love, his life into you. Verse 10, do try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. And verse 17, do understand what the will, the Lord of the will is. Do you want to please Jesus? Then take time every day to read what he has to say. Take time to ask him. Take time to listen to him. Put into practice our verses for the year from Romans 12, 1 and 2. I won't ask you to repeat them now, but you know, put them into practice. It's important we understand what the Lord wants us to do. And then we can do it. Verse 11. But do instead expose them. And verse 13. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. So here's a tricky thing. We're not supposed to just ignore wrong things. We're not just supposed to ignore evil actions. We're not supposed to listen to the filthy jokes and keep a straight face. We are called to actively point out the wrong, the dark, the devious. Now, I know from personal experience that that is pretty difficult stuff. It can have you looked down on by people. It can have you sneered at by people. It can land you in courts. It can upset old friendships. I think this do is as difficult as some of the don'ts. Yet, it's as important. Because if we are truly walking in the light, then wherever we walk, that light will need to shine. And when our light is shining, it has to show what's going on in the dark, because there can't be darkness where there's light. It's a difficult thing, but we must stand against the difficult, the evil, the wrong, as we stand for Jesus. We're running low on time now, so I think this is the point we have to pick up on home groups, and I'll skip past the many other and various things that I was going to say there. Verse 15. Do look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise but wise, making the best use of time, because the days are evil. So here Paul is reminding us that daily we need to watch our step on the walk to make sure that we've got hold of Jesus. We need to keep hold of Jesus when we're on our walk, don't we? Because there are potholes. There are wrong turns. We need to make sure we don't trip. There are plenty of trip hazards. Carry out your risk assessment every morning. Keep hold of Jesus. Because we need to be close. If we're walking in his light, we need to be close to his light and stay in his light. Verse 18, do be filled with the Spirit. Now, we're going to be picking up on the importance of the Holy Spirit in a few weeks. But here, as we look at Paul's words, let's remember Paul has been talking about the negative of people continually looking for the next drink, continually thinking about the next fix, continually thinking about the next drunken night out. Well, that was the corresponding don't. The do is do continually be filled. Be continually refilled. Filled to overflowing with his Holy Spirit. This is an ongoing thing. It's not a one-off. It's an ongoing thing. Now, from my experience as a pastor, I've found that often people can get really confused about the third person of the Trinity. You know, get the idea of the Father, idea of the Son, but the Spirit can either be ignored. He can either be overemphasized or he can be get confused about. Well, as I say, we will be talking about that in a few weeks. But let me just confirm a few things quickly here. First, if you're a Christian, then that moment you were saved, when that happened, like that, His Holy Spirit came. Jesus, by His Spirit, was living in your heart. You have Him in your heart. You gave your heart to Jesus. Jesus has taken it. It's a transaction. You gave Him His heart, He's taken it. You have His Spirit within you. Secondly, and this is what Paul is talking about here, we are supposed to live our lives continually under the influence of the Spirit, letting God's Word guide us and His Spirit control us. Letting Him be in the driving seat, if you want to put it that way, in the driving seat of our hearts, of our lives. And that is continually having Him fill our lives and help us to keep confessing our sin, help us to keep pursuing pure lives. Keep turning our back on our old dark lives, because our old dark lives can keep appearing. And then we find they're actually in front of us where they should be behind us. Submitting to God's will. To keep relying on His power and His strength and not our own. So often we try to live our Christian lives with our own strength. Well, that's pointless. I mean, I can win Mr. Puniverse anytime. But with Christ, well, He's Mr. Universe, isn't He? The creator of the whole lot. His strength. Come to the end of your own strength. If you're still fiddling around with it, throw it away. It's not worth worrying about. Have His. And what else? Well, being filled with the Spirit is a deliberate act, and it should be an ongoing act. We must daily choose to have Him in the driving seat of our new lives. If our driving seat is not filled by His Spirit, as well as offending God, we're left with no power, we're left with no direction, we are left in darkness and no light. And we're left with the bad attitude and behaviour that comes with all of those things. But look at the difference to a family. When the Heavenly Father is in charge of the driving, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Well, we're out of time, and in a moment I'm going to pray, but I just want us to be encouraged. I mean, there's some difficult stuff in here, but I want us to be encouraged by that life, that light that Paul just pushes out for us and says, live this way. What a wonderful church family you have when you're all living this way, when you're all encouraging each other to live this way, and you're helping each other with the don'ts that you'll come across, because you'll all have them, and you'll all need help, and you all need to be open to each other, and so you will need to submit to each other, that's what he says here, out of reverence for Christ. And when you do, you'll find you're built up. It's an amazing thing. You have a life of thanks and joy and peace and harmony. I just love it when our Lord is in the driving seat, don't you? Let's pray.